No one to this day is really sure who actually wrote this book. Nobody knows. The book is about Job, but there are debates on who wrote it. Some say it might have been Moses that wrote this book, but more lean toward Elihu or Elihu. You're going to meet him. He's the fourth friend of Job who will speak toward the end of the book. Some say him. Others believe that because there is so much detail, that it was an eyewitness, and so many lean toward Job himself actually writing the book. It was common back in the days before you were born, way back in the days when this was probably written, it was common that a person, even writing their own biography, even the writing about their own life, would write in the third person. Very common that they would do that, just to tell. What's neat is we know it is inspired by the Lord. You'll see that as we go through. And so chances are good that the scholars that are telling us it was an eyewitness, that's probably where I would lean myself, either Elihu or to Job. And the date of the writing is a little bit difficult to figure out also. But most believe that the book was written in the patriarchal age. Patriarchal, what does that mean? That sounds very biblical, doesn't it? What it means is back when Abraham was alive, back in Isaac, when Isaac was alive, back when Jacob was alive, the patriarchs of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So somewhere probably around 2000 BC. So to you and I, that would be a little over years ago. This is considered probably the oldest book of the Bible. The book of Job would be. Now, some of the reasons that they believe that this would have been written in the patriarchal age do make sense, and so I thought I'd give them to you. I'm sure that you want to know these, inquiring minds like ours. One of the reasons is because Job lived 140 years after his calamity, after these troubles that we're going to read. We read that it was recorded he lived 140 years after. So he lived to be nearly 210 years old, probably. And if you'll take a look, the days of Abraham, Isaac, some of those were living that kind of length of time. Job's wealth, as we read through this book, his wealth is reckoned in livestock. And you recall that Abraham was called a wise man. A wealthy man because, not because of money that he had, but because of the animals, the livestock and the household that he had. The Sabins or the Sabians and the Chaldeans during Abraham's time, but in years later they weren't nomadic. In this particular book you're gonna see that they're nomads and they travel around and you'll see them attack. Job's daughters, which is not an organization. Job's daughters are the girls that he had that were girls of his estate along with their brothers. Now that did not happen and was not possible after Moses showed up in the Mosaic covenant and the law. So that's what leads many to believe, and it's logical enough to believe that it's during the time of the patriarchs. The book of Job includes no references, as you'll see through all the chapters, to the actions. None. To the priesthood, or to the law, to the tabernacle, to special religious days or feasts. None of those things are there. Again, showing us that probably this was written during the time of the patriarchs. Okay? You happy with that? Why not? Okay. Good. Whew. Pretty rough day. Long, sun was out. Did you have the day off? That usually kills you. Said, no? Oh, you worked? School. Work. Okay, it's gross. Well, we better pray for you. A lot of people are looking for work. It's okay. Here we go. you've got a little bit of an idea. But let's just take a look, and we read this. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and eschewed evil. Uz, not Oz. Somewhere located near the Syrian desert. So that would be, if you, usually the Bible takes north, south, east, and west from the land of Israel itself. Even though when this book was written, there was no land of Israel. It just hadn't happened yet. So some northeast of the land of what you and I would call Canaan, which later became Promised Land Israel. And we see that there was a man living up near the Syrian desert. His name was Job. The Bible says he was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. To be perfect and upright, in our language, would be blameless. Now, we know that the Bible says that all are sinners, not suggesting that Job never sinned, but that he was blameless, morally upright and good, and that he feared the Lord. He reverenced the Lord God. And what to you and I, of course, the same thing that you and I would think is that he submitted to God in all his ways. So we have a man, we've got the basic idea of about where he is, northeast of the nation that we would call Israel, just a little bit, over by the desert there. And he was morally upright, and he was one who really submitted himself to the Lord, submitted himself to the things that are about God. And the Bible says he eschewed evil. That word's not used as much as it should be. We say the word shun. He shunned evil. Another way to say that would be he turned away from. He kept away from. He continually departed from evil. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And God meant, so this, remember, this is the word of God. God says that man was perfect and upright. Now, later on, God's going to say that we're going to shift the scene. We're going to go to heaven for a few seconds here in Scripture. And God's going to say that again from God's very own mouth. But, and there were born unto him, unto Job, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And so now we know about a little bit about him. We know where he comes from, sort of. We know what kind of attitudes he has. He is morally upright. He stayed away from evil. He obeyed and followed the Lord. This guy was different than most of the people in his day. And I would have to say that were he alive today, he'd be a lot different than most of the people that you see around the planet today. Blameless and morally good. Submitting to the Lord in all his ways. We're told, as Christians, that we're supposed to be that way. Blameless, morally upright and good, and that we should be submitting to God in all our ways. Everything we do should be based on what God says. Now, we don't do that, and it gets us in trouble, but that's the way we're supposed to be. And here's a man that is living that way. And he has 10 children, the Bible says. Now, we're going to learn a little bit about his substance. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now that's a lot. 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, so you can see how you can come up with some clothing pretty easily for the family. 3,000 camels, transportation and work animals. 500 yoke of oxen, that would be pairs, which means 1,000 oxen. You'd use those for food, steaks and things, also for work animals. And then 500 donkeys, transportation, and again, work animals. Now, you have to think, because it goes on to say, so that he had a very great household also, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. All right, now think about it. All those animals, it would take all kinds of help to take care of them, wouldn't it? I mean, if you've got a few thousand of these and 1,000 of those and 500 of some of these, you can see how you would need a few hired hands to take care of everything. Not only would you need hired hands, but if you think about it, even though it's not listed here, what else would he need? If you have 1,000 oxen, what else would you need? Thank you. There you go. See how not only land, but maybe a place to keep them? And, you know, if the weather ever gets, it snows every once in a while over there, but you'd need a place to keep them. You'd need a way to watch them. You'd need a way to take care of them. So you see, this guy had a lot of stuff and many servants. Job was one of the wealthiest men of his day. He was like a Bill Gates. I mean, his wealth wasn't in cash, it was in all of the stuff that he had. You remember, Abraham was that way. Abraham was a wealthy man. Not a lot of money necessarily, but he had flocks and herds and servants, and you recall that, he was a wealthy man. Well, this is what Job's like here. We learn, I'm going to kind of verse a second, but I'm going to go through the rest of the book very quickly. We learn from reading the rest of the book of Job some more about him besides what we're told here. We learn that he was, number one, highly respected in his community. Not just because he was rich, but he was highly respected because he was a wise man. We learn he was a fair and an honest judge. We also learn he was a wise counselor. And we see he was an honest employer. And very hospitable and generous. And he was a farmer. He also grew crops along with everything else that's listed here. So he was a busy guy. Had a lot of things going. I'm sure his schedule was a busy schedule. But before we found out how rich he was and how busy he was and how much stuff he had and how it must have taken amazing administration to keep it all together and to keep track of it all, do you notice it says here that first and foremost he was perfect and upright and one that reverenced God and stayed away from evil. So, we can learn something here. We can learn that no matter how busy I am, no matter how much I've got, no matter how much it takes to keep it all together, there is still God, reverence God, and do things the right way. So that's good news. Now, we learn something about the kids. His sons, they went and feasted in their houses. They had big parties. Everyone, his day, says. And they sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. They even partied with their sisters. A rare family. Big parties. What kind of parties? The Bible just told us, I'll read it again. Sons went, feasted in their houses, everyone, his day. I hate to do this, but what that means is their birthday. Sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses. But yeah, it was their birthday. Each one, his day. And they partied. And I mean, they got down. And they invited the whole family and they ate. And it was such a rowdy thing. There was nothing necessarily wrong with it, but it was such a rowdy thing that notice what goes on. It was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, in other words, when they had finished feasting, Job said, and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job all the time, continually. Every time they had a party, every time they got together at one of the sons' houses, had a big old feast, were celebrating his day. All right, then Job would come along when it was done, and he would offerings and sacrifices to the Lord. This was before the law. And he would offer. Why? Well, it might be that my kids have cursed God. And you think, how old were these kids? They were old enough to live on their own. They were old enough to live in their own homes. Notice they would gather at their own homes, not in Job's house. These were full-grown kiddies who were in Job as the father of the house. He took it upon himself and decided it might be that they've done something they shouldn't. And you notice he offered burnt offerings, one for each of his children. What was he doing? He was acting as the priest. Is that the priest's responsibilities? Is to do the sacrifices for the people? He was acting as the priest. Why would he be doing that? Well, we've already talked about it. I've already mentioned it. Because there were no priests yet. There were no such animal, really. I mean, the law hadn't even been written down. But Job was such a man of God that he realized, Lord, that my children may have done things that are no good, that are not right. And I want to always keep them close to you. And I want to always remain close to you myself. So he would sacrifice animals for each of them, so that his sons and daughters would be right in the eyes of the Lord God. So the Bible says this he did continually. He never stopped doing this. And you would think that after a while he'd look at his kids and say, look, man, you're in your 50s. You're on your own. No, all the time he was alive, he took the responsibility to go before the Lord for his children. See, he was a perfect and upright man, and one that reverenced. I don't know what his kids were all about. Do you? The Bible, the only thing I know about them is they celebrate a lot. And there are 10 of them. And they each have birthdays, or big celebration days, on 10 different months. I mean, they're partying all year. That's the only thing I know about his kids. But there's one thing I know. He loves the Lord. He wants everything done right before the Lord. He wants to make sure that the others are all right before the Lord. And verse 6 now takes us to heaven. We leave us and we head on up to heaven. See, now the curtains are pulled back. You and I can look into heaven. We see the scene there. And that's where the throne of the living God is. So what an interesting book. Now there was a day, verse 6 says, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Whoa. Sons of God. All right, they're not humans. Humans don't show up every few months or once a year up in heaven in the throne room and give a report of what they're doing, do they? No, not yet. No, we'll all be given reports. Oh, yeah. Some it won't be in the throne room, though. Some it'll be in front of the great white throne, but you don't want that part. But notice that these sons of God are literally created. And if they're not humans, what are they? What they are, as we see by the mention of the one we recognize, Satan, these are angels. Remember, angels are created beings. They are created like you are created in your image, not in God's image, but they are created nonetheless. How many of them are there? Bible makes it clear that they are innumerable. You can't count them all. There are so many that they cannot be counted. There are lots of them. They must have been created with a free will. The reason I say that, I just read somewhere that angels were not created with a free will. Well, I can't agree with that. They chose to follow Satan. Satan chose to rebel. That's a will of his own. And approximately one third of the created angels chose to go with him. How many is that? Lots. Billions. If the numbers are innumerable. They chose to go with Satan. Well, we're looking in heaven and we see angels. And amazingly enough, Satan is there too. And we read this now in verse 7. When the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Or, in English, in American, where have you come from? Now remember, everybody, God knows everything. So when God asks you, what are you doing? That doesn't mean he doesn't know what you're doing. Okay, do you understand? When God cried out to Adam, Adam, where are you? God wasn't saying, I only got one man on the whole earth and I can't find him. Adam, where are you? No, that's not the question. The question is, Adam, do you realize where you are? God asks us that all the time. He could look right at you and go, where are you? And you'd go, what do you mean? I'm right here. No, where are you? Think about now where you're at. Where's your heart? What's going on? Well, he says to Satan, where have you come from? Where you been? Satan answered the Lord, said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Okay, so we have the sons of God, the angels, coming into the throne room before the Lord. Probably that's not the way you had it pictured, is it? You didn't have, you don't have in your mind a picture of Satan every so often having to come across front of the main desk and turn in a report. You just didn't think that, did you? That's what he does. He has to report regularly, just like all the angels do. Aren't you amazed? Do this. Sure. I know you didn't think that. I know you didn't. And where did he say it came from? I came from hell, and man, it is hot down there. Is that what he said? No, as a matter of fact, he's nuts where everybody cartoons him. That's where even Christians think he is. They say he's running hell. No, no, he's not. He's not there. He's alive and well, as Hal Lindsey said, living on the planet Earth, wandering around. He's here. He was in the upper room. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the devil was there at dinner. People say, man, I would love to have been in the upper room. Maybe so, but the devil was there. It might not have been the greatest place. Who needs it? There he is. And the Lord says, where have you been? And I want you to notice, mark in this verse if you like, Satan has no choice. He must report. He can't say, I'm not sure. Tell God if he wants to talk to me, come down here. He can't say, I'm not telling you where I've been. He must report. Satan's on a leash. I think people understand that. He's completely under God's authority, completely under God's control, does nothing without complete permission from God. Nothing. So don't blame him. And Job is not going to blame him in a few minutes. You'll see what I mean. He didn't come from hell. He clearly says, I've been walking around the earth. 1 Peter 5:8. I know you've probably got it memorized, don't you? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is wandering the earth right now, looking to destroy somebody. And remember, angels don't. So it's a non-stop thing. It's constant. It's all the time. Where have you come from? I've been walking to and fro all around the earth. Well, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us what he's looking to do. Looking for somebody to eat alive. To destroy. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Calls him the God of this world, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's called the God of this world. Jesus acknowledges that there when he is tempted in the wilderness, and the devil takes him up unto this high mountaintop. I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the Bible says. And Jesus looked at him and said, you can't give them to me. You don't even own them. Oh, no, that's not what he said, is it? Jesus acknowledged, yes, you could give them to me. I'm not interested. Get behind me, Satan. Acknowledge, yeah, you've got them and you can give them to whoever you want. I'm not interested. I don't think we understand really like we should what's going on around us. But Job, we learn from the book of Job very clearly what's happening all around us. All we have to do is pay attention. Later on in the New Testament, you're going to read that we are not ignorant tricks. That means we're reading the scripture. We see how he works. We see what he thinks, and he can't trick us. We're not ignorant of his devices, of his tricks. Especially if we're just simply paying attention, reading through the Word of God. Ephesians 2:2 says this: wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, works in the children of disobedience. Satan is called the god of this world. Here he is called in Ephesians chapter 2, he is called the prince of the powers of the air. I don't know if you're understanding or not, but Satan's ruling the world. And if you don't believe that, read the news. Just watch around the world every 30 minutes. Just watch. And you'll see things happening and you'll think, what is going on in people's heads? And you'll see who's kind of running things. And at the very end of this chapter, you'll see who's letting him run things. Well, where have you been? I come from going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. Now the Lord brings up Job. Oh, don't mention my name. And if you got people coming through by the throne, don't bring me up. Just leave me alone. I don't need this. Job has no idea that this is going on, by the way. And God says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now the word considered is a military. Another way that you and I could say it is strategize. Have you, Satan, since you're walking around looking for someone to destroy, have you strategized my servant Job? Have you watched him? Have you got all your satellite photos and everything? Have you figured a way that you can get him? Think, Lord, just whatever you do, I know you love me. Don't mention my name. Who needs it? Hey, have you strategized my servant Job? Have you noticed that there is none like him in all the earth? He's a pretty nice guy. He is a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and stays away from evil. Those are God's word, right? God said, have you strategized my servant Job? That he is a right on guy. He's upright, he reverences me, and he stays away from evil. Have you strategized him? Satan answered the Lord and said, yep, sure have. I already know how to get to him. Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I was looking at him and I got a way. I think I got a way I can get him. Look what he says. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Do you know what another way you could say that? And this is a slap to the face of God. Satan says it right to God's face. You're paying him to follow you. You're paying him to reverence you. You think he's doing it for nothing? You're paying him. And the attitude is, Satan's attitude, the language is like, you make me sick. You pay these people to trust in you and to follow you. But that's an interesting concept. You can see Satan hates the Lord God. And of course, you will notice Satan hates mankind. He doesn't. Those of you that want to be Satanists, those of you that want to serve Satan, then people say, I've sold my soul to the devil. He's got the power. He doesn't like you. He hates you. He can't stand you. He'll use you and destroy your life and destroy many others through you. He hates the Lord God. His end is to eternally suffer. And he knows it. And his goal is to have you with him as he can. By the way, that's what Hitler said as well. Take as many to hell as he could with him. And Satan hates mankind, not just you only, but all of mankind. He has no use for me. The devil has no use for you. Jesus says he has only come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his whole goal. There is no, that he would be around on this earth. He doesn't want the trees. He doesn't want the water. He doesn't want the oil or the uranium or the gold. What does he want? Your life. That's all he does. He hates you. He's not here for the beauty. He doesn't go to the Grand Canyon to see the colors. He wants to destroy you. How's he doing? Those of you that have lightened to get in, how's he doing? See, destroying things, you say, I'm a Christian, yet you follow him in certain areas and you're noticing it's falling apart. Well, God says, have you strategized my servant Job? Satan says, Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Who wouldn't follow you? The richest guy in the whole world, possibly. He says, put forth your hand now. Touch all that he has. Just touch all that he has, and he'll curse you right to your face. I've strategized him. I know as we found a way, I can get a missile right in there, and you touch his stuff. He'll curse you to your face. My goodness. He says, let me just put that in our language. Job doesn't really care anything about you. He cares about Job. Job just cares about number one. All humans do. That's what Satan is saying. Let something happen to him. Or his stuff. And you'll see the real Job. You'll see that man that you're bragging about here. Just let something happen to his stuff. Not a Christian. Just give it some thought for a minute. We're all Christians, at least we're saying that we are. Think about it. When was the last time something didn't go your way and you got mad and cursed God? You got mad at God for it. Got really angry. Even decided, I don't even know if I'm going to go to church. And you said, I'm not going to do what God says. I'm in this issue, I'm just not. This is stupid. This is wrong. I am not going to obey. When you say something like that, even if you don't use the words, when you take that attitude, what are you saying? I curse you to your face. I won't reverence you. I won't follow you. I'm not going to do what you say. You made my allowance go down. You hurt my feelings. You let so-and-so cheat me. Devil, Job doesn't care about you. Job cares about Job. Let something happen to him or his stuff, and you'll see the true man that you're here bragging about. What does God say? God says, Job, you're wrong. I'm God, I know what I'm talking about. I mean, he says, Satan, you're wrong. I'm God, I know what I'm talking about. It won't work. Is that what God said? No, let's read what he said. Lord said to Satan, oh, you think so? Behold, all that he has, I put in your hands, in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. What did God just tell him? Okay, let's see. You think Job doesn't care about touching his stuff will cause him to curse me to my face? Okay, touch it. Do whatever you want. Take it. Now why would God, who loves Job, do that to Job? You ever wonder? Well, cares about Job. Why would God do that to you? Why is he letting some things right now happen in your life? When he could stop them, you just learned that Satan hasn't done anything, nothing, without first having to go get permission. Hey, I want to rip what's his name's hair off. Okay, go ahead. So the truth is, and it's kind of hard to take, is that everything that's in my life right now and everything that's in yours has been allowed there by God, or it wouldn't be there. And you say, well, we had most of our stuff in the stock market, and we've lost our shirts. And we don't know how we're going to function. We don't know what we're going to do. Why is this happening? It's happening because God allowed it to happen. Because he lies to you. And he knows, he thinks he sees a chink. He thinks he can get to you. And God says, have at it. But there have been times when Satan said, I want to put him to death. I want to kill him. I want to kill her. And God said, no. No, not now. We'll wait till Thursday. Isn't that what God said just now to Satan about Job? You can touch everything that's his, just don't touch physical body. What did you just learn? Satan is on a leash. He will do just what he's allowed to do and no more. So nothing happens without God's permission. Nothing. And of course, the question is asked very commonly, why do bad things happen to good people? The answer, nobody likes, there are no good people. But the truth is, we are. And you know as well as I do that he can heal. I mean, we all know it. But there are times when we get sick and he doesn't heal. We don't understand it, but we know he can if he wants to. There are times when things are going on in our lives and we know that the word and it would be gone. The whole bunch of pressure, the whole stress, the whole situation could be right side up again. And we know he could, but it just doesn't seem to happen. And we're praying, and sometimes it sounds like the prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. And we're going through this, and we're thinking, what is going on? Look here. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, we shift back to earth from the heaven scene. We go back to earth now. We see what happens. Job says, that guy, you take away his stuff, he'll curse you to your face. He doesn't love you. You're paying him to follow you. If you wouldn't make him rich, he wouldn't follow you. Do you know how often that is said about you in the very presence of the living God today? How Job or the Satan would look at you and say, oh yeah, her? God says, have you considered my servant? And Satan would go, oh yeah, her, I've been watching her. Yeah, that's because she's so healthy and so athletic. You take that and she won't even look at you. And there have been times when God has said, go ahead, take that. Why does he do that? Because he doesn't like her. No. God knows something. God knows that everything he allows in my life, if I will trust him and obey and be patient, you're going to learn patience through the book of Job. And be patient. That number one, I will grow. And number two, it will bring God more glory. It will show God to be more glorious, more powerful. It'll make Satan look even that much dirtier, and it will strengthen Job. By the end of this book, Job is going to be he's going to be a whole different man. He's going to be closer to the Lord. But let me read to you something. And the Lord said in verse 8 to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Here's what God has to say about him now, before the change. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. God said that about Job. Now God's got some plans to purify Job even more. Job, now you know it. And so you don't have as much of a problem with it as Job. But to see now you're in the middle of your own and you don't know where it's going and how it's going to end and what kind of glory it's going to bring God. And so you're ready to bail. You're ready to give up. You're ready to throw that marriage in the trash. You're ready to do everything just the opposite of what God says because you can't see and there's pressure on you. So God says, go for it. So Satan leaves. Verse 13 says, party day. There was a day when his sons and his daughters, Job's sons and daughters, they were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. Must have been his day. And there came a messenger to Job. verse 14. And the messenger said, the oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were feeding beside them. And the Sabians, or Sabins, fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell you. All right, back on earth. All the kids are getting together at the oldest brother's house. Party. And Job, a while back, that he had 1,000 oxen, and how many donkeys was it? Anybody remember? I have it written here somewhere. Lots. 500 of those. Every one of them, to the last one, animal, oxen and donkeys, were taken. In one day, they were gone. And Job lost servants that were killed in that attack. While he was still speaking, verse 16 says, that servant was still speaking, there came also another. And this one's interesting. Said, verse 16, the fire of God fallen from heaven and it burned up the sheep. All the sheep caught on fire. I mean, that had to be something to see. And the servants as well. The servants caught on fire. Consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell you. All the sheep burned up. How many sheep were there? 7,000. Well, wait. Servants. How many servants would it take to take care of 7,000 sheep? More than three. Lots. They all burned. That was a big fire. Where did it come from? Fire came out of the sky. Called it the fire of God. Could have been lightning. I don't know what kind of fire it was, but it came out of the sky. All the servants that were tending the sheep. Well, there's a coincidence, wouldn't you say? I mean, there's, you know, we're talking bad day. Got up, everybody was having a big celebration. Hey, you knew this was coming, but Job got up, didn't know this went on in heaven yesterday afternoon. He didn't know that that happened. Just like when you got up one day and the doctor said to you, you're sick. He said, no, I just got a stomachache. I'm fine. And then they do some tests and they say, you say, well, you're crazy. Well, I mean, you know, yesterday I was, everything was fine. Must have been some busy time in heaven. Fire comes out of the sky. You ever read your insurance policies? They don't cover acts of God. Is this an act of God? Well, it depends on how you look at it, doesn't it? Did God send the fire? No, God sent the devil. The devil brought the fire. So is it an act of God or not? We'll be fighting that one until we get there, won't we? Yeah. No fire would come out of the sky unless God allowed it to come out of the sky. You understand that, don't you? That's why we're told God's in control. He's still in control. Think about that. We read this. While this one was still speaking, oh Lord, there's more. There also came another and said, the Chaldeans, they made out three bands and they fell upon the camels and have carried them away. That didn't mean they carried them away. They took them away. You know, I mean, that's what the language means. Yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I'm the only one that escaped. All the camels are gone. Hey, in one day, he lost every animal that he owned. In one day. What do you call that when the stock market crashes and you lose everything? Yuck. Bad. Not great. People have committed suicide for less than that. Job is now poor. Oh, he's got some land, but what do you do with it? He's got three servants left right here. Oh, it's not over yet. While he was still speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And behold, a great strong wind came from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house. It fell on the kids and they're all dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. A strong wind came up and blew them. That would be a little hard to believe after all the other news, wouldn't it? You'd be starting to think, is God trying to say something? Wouldn't you? You get up and read that now the bank's closed and you had $50 in there and that was all your money and it's gone for good. And you think that's not bad enough. You think, oh man, I lost every bit of my savings. And you go to work and find out, I went to work this morning and the building wasn't there. Wind knocked it down. Don't have anything. Try to get into the car to go back home from work. The car won't start. You got to walk. You get home and everybody in the home's dead. Do you call that a bad day? Do you believe in coincidence? Bible teaches there is no such thing as coincidence. No such thing. This all happened because Satan wanted to destroy Job's life. But God wouldn't let him touch Job's physical body. So he did everything he could, everything else. Job lost everything in one day except his wife. Then Job arose, verse 20, clothing, a sign that he was mourning, brokenhearted and in mourning. Shaved his head, that same thing. Fell down on the ground and worshipped. Who do you think he worshipped? You can go back and read. Job was a man who reverenced God. What would I do? What would we do if we got up in the morning and our entire world was gone? Would you think, you know what? I just got to go before the Lord. I just got to fall before the Lord and cry out and worship the Lord. That's what he did. And here's what he said. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked, or in other words, I'll die. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the final verse says, in all this, underline all, Job did not sin, nor charge God foolishly. All right, now listen closely to what Job said. I came into the world with nothing, and I know I'm going to leave the world with nothing. I came in with nothing, and God gave me everything I had. I don't know if you've thought about that lately, but that's what he's saying. I started out naked. I mean, I didn't even own mine. Hospital gave me a nice little thing. My parents put some little funky hats on me, you know, but I didn't have much. I mean, I wasn't really styling until I could, you know, get up and pick my own. But Job says, that's how I came, and I came with nothing, completely naked. But God gave me things, lots of things. I had camels, I had donkeys, I had sheep, and all kinds of stuff, oxen. I had 10 children. But I know, and of course I've always known, and it's just not something I think about, I know I'm going to leave with nothing. When was the last time you honestly sat down and calmly said, I am leaving here with nothing? The Lord gives, and the Lord has... Now I've heard people teach, men and women alike, teach that Job was wrong there. That Job shouldn't have blamed it on the Lord. Job was absolutely 100% correct. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. And in all this, Job did not sin, nor did he charge God foolishly. In other words, he didn't say something that was foolish. It was correct. The statement he made was correct, God's word says. Sure, God allowed all of that to be taken from him. Why? Well, you'll have to come back. Because we'll go into chapter 2 and you'll see it's not over yet. He's not down at the very bottom yet. How would you feel if your children were taken from you today? Not only did you lose everything, but you lost those children. And you know, some people don't like their kids. You know that. But Job We have already learned he loved his, and he wanted to make sure that they were always right before the Lord. And so we learned that he would sacrifice as the priest for them because he loved them and wanted to make sure at all times everything was all right with them. He loved those 10. Yet he was still able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was still able to reverence and worship the Lord. Satan said, "You're buying his love." God says, "Take his stuff." When his stuff was gone, he still loved the Lord. He said, "God is good. Lord, take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, he didn't sin nor charge God foolishly. He just said, "God's in control." I don't think for one minute he understands what's going on. You're going to see in another few chapters as we get to it, he'll tell you, "I do not understand why this is happening to me. I do not understand what's going on in my life." He's going to say that. Learn some things on through. There are times when you and I will say it. "I don't understand what's happening to me. I don't understand why this is in my life. I don't understand what's going on." But we should be able to say like Job, "God is good. And the name of the Lord is to be praised. We can trust him." We'll have to stop there. Take a look at chapter 2 the next time we get together. Read through it again. It's not very long, 22 verses. Interesting how God controls and how Satan doesn't have the authority that everybody wants to give him. But it's everything in God's hands, and God does only what is right and what is good. If he allows something in my life or in yours, it is for your strength, for your growth, and for his glory. It's never wasted. You'll see that as we go our heads.